Well, it's just great to be back with you at GoldSeek.com Radio with another Gold Nugget segment. Today's featured guest, Monty Guild of Guild Investment. Well, Mr. Guild, a recognized expert in the areas of international investing and economics, a writer and speaker on economic issues for 30-plus years, widely quoted in the mainstream media. Welcome back, Monty Guild.
Thank you very much.
So much on the table, as always. One of the neatest, I think, aspects of the field of economics and finance is that there's always a bevy of topicality, key news events to discuss.
We basically are fairly sanguine about the world at this stage, while we are not sanguine about the world longer term. At this stage, Japan made some news today by failing to do more negative interest rates, lower negative interest rates, and more quantitative easing. It's obvious that Japan has come to the realization that they don't have a solution to their problem, and they're going to have to grow their way out of it by something other than investment programs. They're going to have to start doing, by investment programs, I mean central bank-oriented programs, they're going to have to start doing something to stimulate economic growth within the nation from fiscal policy side, probably lower taxes, probably some incentive to the younger people to start companies. It is a monolithic society where people like to work for large organizations. Many large Japanese organizations continue to prosper in the automotive, in the shipping, in the heavy industrial areas. But, of course, they have long-term problems with demographics. Japan has been unwilling to allow immigration, and as a result of that, they're an aging society without a lot of young entrepreneurial people. So that's a negative. On the positive side today, we see commodities, which began their rally in late January and February, continuing to move ahead. Gold is quite strong today. Crude is up 34 cents as we speak. Gold is up $17.70, about $20 below the high that it reached in mid-March. We're bullish on gold. We're extremely bullish on oil. Mainly bullish on gold longer term because we think the currencies of the world have to decrease in value. In the short run, global economic growth is picking up in the second quarter. U.S. stocks are going higher. European stocks are difficult and vulnerable because of problems all over Europe, mainly with immigration from the Mideast and the unsettling aspects of that. Asia, we're reticent to buy, although there's a huge credit bubble being created in China. The Chinese stock market remains a very volatile and casino-like environment where people don't really invest, they gamble. So we don't recommend Chinese stocks. At this point in time, the countries we like beside the U.S. are Brazil and Russia. Why would we like Brazil and Russia? Because both Brazil and Russia are beneficiaries of the commodity cycle reversion to the mean. After many years of lower oil prices and lower gold prices, there's reversion to the mean going on where base metals, grains, oil, natural gas, and gold are rallying, as well as other precious metals. Given this scenario, it's a very positive environment for countries like Canada, Brazil, and Russia. Canada, of course, has oil, they have timber, they have raw materials of all kinds, including some gold. And in the case of Russia, they have oil and many raw materials of the mineral style. And in the case of Brazil, they have farm products, large exports of soybeans and meats, and they also have large exports of base metals. They also have become more independent in the oil sector with Petrobras having done miraculous things, drilling wells way, way below the surface of the ocean and bringing in massive oil fields offshore Brazil. All of this is well known in the world and has created an opportunity in Brazil. Russia is coming from under, which was sanctions for invading Ukraine and taking over Crimea, taking over parts of Ukraine. They had sanctions that hurt Russia, which is a lesson to everybody in Europe. If you want to take somebody else's property, go ahead and take it. Neville Chamberlain lives again in the form of all the people running the European countries. Very much a repeat of the Second World War, we think could happen at some stage in Europe. Right now, Russia is able to take countries and take real estate, and nobody seems to care in the long run. So we see Russia benefiting for higher oil prices, higher mineral prices, and removal of sanctions. We see Brazil benefiting from the removal of the current president, very much like Watergate in this country. After Watergate was finally decided and Mr. Nixon retired, the market rallied up until the time Mr. Nixon resigned, and then it fell, and the currency, the U.S. dollar, was affected because people didn't know what kind of a job Ford would do, President Ford. Well, he turned out he did an adequate job, so after a few months of decline, the United States went up. Now we see the same thing happening in Brazil. Well, Rousseff will be removed from office. While she is being removed from office, we expect the Brazilian market and the Brazilian currency to rally. And after she is removed, there'll be a period of uncertainty. But the vice president of Brazil has said he's bringing back a strong central banker who ran the country very well in the past to run the central bank. So my guess is that Brazil will have a little period of disquiet after they remove Rousseff and then a continued rally. So we like Brazil, we like Russia, and we like oil, we like gold. And we like anything that benefits from a non-strong dollar. Well, the big reason for the world stock market rally and commodity rally in the last few months has been the dollar has fallen by 6% versus the world indices of currencies. And that is a very positive thing for U.S. companies as they invest abroad and produce abroad. So in general, we're sanguine.
Continued volatility, wide swings on the Dow Jones Industrials Average. 1,000, 2,000 point swings now, the norm over the past 12 months or so. Fear, let's call it on the blogosphere meter, it seems to be off the charts. A lot of concern that we'll see another credit crisis-like meltdown similar to 2007 through 2009. Your work seems to indicate that that might be overblown. Particularly, you talk about stronger oil is great for the energy companies. Do you expect that to buoy the S&P 500 on a forward basis, let's say through 2016 or 2017. Give us your outlook on the sector, please.
Okay, sometime, in fact, in a year ago right now, end of April last year, we wrote in 2 to 3 years, there will be another crisis like 2007, 2008, caused primarily probably by weak European banking system and failure of the European banks to recapitalize like the U.S. banks did after 2007 and 8. Also, this expansion of debt over in China, since it's all internally generated within China and they're not borrowing abroad, will take longer to collapse, but it will also be a negative when it collapses. Now we've changed our model. A year has passed, but instead of 1 to 2 years from now, we think it's 1 to 4 years from now, there will be another 2007-2008 type crisis. We are not extremely sanguine except for the next few months. Our basic view is that sometime on the horizon, there has to be a recalculation of the world debt. A paying off of the world debt can only take place by devaluing currencies. There isn't enough money to pay off the hundreds of trillions of debt in the world. Of devaluation of currencies so that current countries can pay back their global debt in devalued currency form. So it's very, very good for countries to lower the value of their currencies. And this is what's going to happen. For this reason, we like stocks that can benefit from a lower currency. We like oil stocks. We like gold stocks. We like stocks of commodity-producing companies. But we're not looking for a real great economic growth rate in the world. We're looking for economic stagnation and slow growth. Reinhardt and Rogoff and other important professors have pointed out that when you have too much debt, you have slow economic growth. Clearly, the world has suffered from slow economic growth for the last few years because everywhere in the world except China had too much debt. And now China is gearing up by putting on too much debt there. So we can expect over a long time, in the short run, China growth rate will be 6% this year, maybe 7%. But in the longer run, China growth is going to be like U.S. growth, 3, 4, 5% in China, 1, 2, maybe 3% in U.S., because the debt burden will keep it from growing. What the other thing that's going to happen is as interest rates rise, if they ever do, because the economy picks up, interest rates will rise and you will have pressure for the economy to slow down again. So as a result of this, we see slow economic growth as the wave of the future going ahead, which would be terrible for savers, terrible for bondholders, terrible for the retired and the income-needing public, income-seeking public. However, just the opposite is going to happen for those companies that produce commodities, especially things like gold, which are a store of value, less so for oil, because, of course, oil is used in the industrial machine, and even less so for base metals, which are also used in the industrial machine of the world. So to put it simply, we're not sanguine about world economic growth growing ahead. We think the Dow Jones Industrial Average could move slowly ahead with GDP growth. And we think those sectors of the Dow Jones Average or the S&P 500 or other countries in the world stock exchanges, which are committed to commodities and which benefit from lower valued currencies, will do better than other sectors.
Debt. What a four-letter word that one is. Well, unless it's written off, one way or another, it will have to be paid off. And given the modus operandi of our wonderful policymakers, of course, continued debasement of our currencies. So give us an idea about how this could impact gold equities and the precious metals on a forward basis.
If we look back to history, Chris, there is an historical precedent for devaluing the currency to pay off debt. After World War II, the United States used a 50-year period of devaluing currency to pay down the war debt, all of the loans that they made on the Marshall Plan, and all the money they borrowed to do all the things like fight wars and to give away money and foreign aid and so forth, was handled in great part by a depreciating currency, which allowed us to devalue our, to pay off our debt as agreed in depreciated dollars and to increase our tax revenues because the dollar bought so much less now than it did at the end of World War II. The exact same thing will continue on into the future. It is conceivable and probable that the U.S. dollar will depreciate slower than most currencies. My guess is the strongest currency in the world over the next 50 years will be the Chinese yuan. But I would imagine that even it will be devalued substantially from where it is today. And the U.S. dollar will be devalued substantially. It will be probably among the top few currencies in the world. But it will be devalued substantially as well. All of this argues strongly for commodities and other instruments which are based in dollars. So there's two kinds of stocks we like. We like stocks with technological expertise that can cure hepatitis C, like Gilead has been able to do in recent years, or that can benefit from a depreciating currency. So among those that can benefit from the depreciating currency, we like gold. We like gold shares. We like good quality gold mining companies that don't get too grandiose in their expectations, that are willing to be moderate and steady and to move ahead mining gold in a systematic way. We also like silver stocks, although we don't think silver will do as well as gold in the long run. In the short run, silver could do quite well. Do we like other precious metals? Not as much. Platinum, palladium used for industrial uses, and silver used for industrial uses as well as for a store of value. But now more and more people in the world are going to be experiencing inflation, and more people in the world are going to be concerned about storing value. So there's three ways to do that. One is real estate, especially in growing areas. Now, if you bought real estate in Salina, Kansas, it probably has not gone up that much over the last 50 years. But if you bought real estate in Los Angeles, or New York, or San Francisco, Seattle, Austin, Atlanta, and so forth, Miami, it's gone up quite a bit due to immigration. Different regions of the country have different immigration. And we've found in doing some studies that residential real estate has done much better than other sectors. there are tax advantages to owning office buildings and warehouses, and many of your listeners may be real estate professionals, but you know, real estate has only done well in as a sector because of these tax advantages. The only really growing part of the industry that's done well through thick and thin because of increased regulation and increased cost of construction has been home-related, where either multi-unit or single-family unit housing. Because in California and the entire western United States, we've had immigration from Asia and from Latin America. And of course, the southwestern United States from Latin America, and from Miami from Latin America, and from the eastern coast of the United States from Europe. The United States has many problems, but we do have a good banking system. We do have a good accounting system, a good legal system, and there is freedom in this country to do things that you can't do in many other places. So we are still attracting money from abroad into real estate. And it's very difficult for foreigners to open bank accounts here or own stocks here, but it's very easy for them to own real estate. So we like real estate. As far as stocks go, as I've said, you know, we like the mining and metal stocks.
There is considerable talk about the UK breaking away from the Eurozone and the European Union. And I'd like your thoughts on just where this might lead, whether or not this is a growing theme, and just how investors might better prepare themselves in these coming years as a result.
We think Europe is problematic. It's a failing system, and it's going to continue failing. And Brexit is just one of the many kinds of exits that are going to happen from that system. We don't think Brexit will probably pass this time, but it's going to continue to be an issue. The current polls say 52% for staying in the union, 48% for leaving the union. It's close, but it looks like they stay in. The currency union they're not in, of course, but trading bloc. I don't think it would be negative for them to leave. I think the bureaucracy in Brussels is just stultifying, and $64 trillion in debt, counting all kinds of debt, and according to the U.S. Debt Clock, an organization that keeps in touch with all corporate, government, state, municipal, federal, and individual debt. And the world, according to the U.S. GDP being about 25% of the world GDP, or actually 30%, probably has about over $150 trillion in debt altogether everywhere. This cannot be handled. This needs the depreciated currencies or debt failure. No politician is ever going to opt, in our view, based on historical patterns, for debt collapse. Every politician will defer any debt problem until after they've left office. So the easiest way to do that is to depreciate currency. So we expect in Europe, if you're an investor there, you're going to meet with continued exits from the European community, continued problems with immigration, illegal immigration from the Middle Eastern war zones, and other problems that will be pretty insurmountable. So we're staying away from Europe. Japan has many problems that are connected with their aging society and their unwillingness to accept immigration. We will trade Japan periodically for a year or two, but longer term, we're staying away from them. So we see the only areas of real opportunity as being Southeast Asia, China, India, and the United States, Canada, Australia, and the countries that produce the raw materials that are going to be demanded. People in China and India and other parts of the world have shown they want to accumulate gold. They want to accumulate it in large quantities.
And I appreciate your thoughts there. But what I was really alluding to was the idea of, you know, increased tensions worldwide that you talked about, with Russia perhaps absorbing more territory, more region, very little resistance. And then, of course, we see issues regarding the Middle East that are somewhat unresolved. That's a big wild card. In such an uncertain environment, economically speaking, what is the safe haven for investors? I mean, we've talked about oil, the precious metals, and real estate. You see those themes persisting for many years to come?
Yes, I see those persisting for many years to come. Do I see there's a safe haven in income instruments? I don't think interest rates can go up a lot, given the fact that the world economy will get weak every time interest rates rise. So income instruments that get pounded down that are connected with oil, like right now, the pipeline stocks have been pounded, then they rallied. Now, if you closely follow what's going on in the pipeline industry, what you're going to see is that many pipelines in the U.S. and Canada are not operating because the throughput and the pressure in the pipe is not enough, because so many people who have been doing fracking and growing their production have stopped doing so. At $45 oil, they can't make money. So they've stopped pumping through the pipelines. That means the MLP sector, the transportation sector for oil, is probably going to get another decline. Whenever you see declines in income sectors like this, in utilities because politicians vote lower utility bills, or in MLPs because the amount of fracking decreases and the amount of production of oil and gas decreases, and there isn't enough to go through the pipelines, wait for the correction to run its course or to run for some time, and then buy those sectors, because over time, reversion to the mean of those who serve commodities will create a lot of opportunity. We think the U.S. remains a safe haven. We think Australia and Canada remain safe havens. The rule of law is something that can't be overestimated, and even though there is ostensibly the rule of law in countries like India, it takes 20 years for your case to get completely finished with all the appeals. It's a long time. So we think India and these countries are attractive, but they're not really safe havens. We think China can make you some money if you're a speculating trader, but we don't think them as a safe haven. We don't see Europe as a safe haven. If Britain were to quit the European Union in terms of the trade bloc, if they were to quit, I would like Britain as a safe haven. And if the pound fell as a result of that, I would say Britain is a safe haven. But I can't see Germany as a safe haven, or any other of the Northern European well-managed countries within Europe, because they're letting in all this potential terrorism and immigration in a humanitarian effort, which I think is going to backfire on them.
Monty Guild, your encyclopedic-like knowledge base appreciated today. Please tell folks more about Guild Investments and just what they'll find when they direct their web browsers to your websites.
You're very kind, Chris. Thank you. Guild Investment has a newsletter, which we're happy to send out to you. It comes out once a week, talking about our activity all over the world. It's a minimal newsletter. We have a more expensive paid newsletter, which is, we think, well worth your effort to read. It'll give you this kind of information that we've been sharing with you today on a weekly basis. In addition to that, we do investment management services. We're mainly a family office managing our own personal money, and we also manage money for a few $100 million worth of clients. Our strategy is to stay small and do a very thorough job, rather than to get big and do a mediocre job like so many others in the investment management profession. We are registered investment advisors, which means we are fiduciaries, and we can do nothing for that is self-dealing in any way, as opposed to a financial advisor or so-called financial advisor or stockbroker who can self-deal for themselves before you. So we have fiduciary responsibility like an attorney or a CPA. That's what we do. We're happy to help anyone who calls or emails or goes on our website. Thank you so much, Chris, for the chance to speak to your highly intelligent user base.
Well, I'm sure your thoughts are appreciated. We'll look forward to more of those important must-hear comments in 2016. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity. Brazil Resources, based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves. Industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their RIA project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.